Mike Dugubin, Maranatha. And welcome, beloved, to the next few moments of Bible study together. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 32. And remember, the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted that you've joined us for these few moments of study from Genesis chapter 32. We've been studying on the subject of rejection, and Jacob has done an awfully lot of it in his life, as we've already seen. And now Esau is coming to meet Jacob as he is returning back to his homeland. And Esau is coming with 400 men. Jacob has done everything he knows to do to fix the fix that God has given to fix him. And so God has fixed another fix to fix him. And Jacob has come to his wit's end. Have you ever come to your wit's end, beloved? If not, God's still working on you as a child of his to bring you to that point and that place where you will let him be truly Lord in every area of your life. If you don't, beloved, you're going to miss out on the more abundant life. You're going to miss out on the very best that God has for you. Jacob has come to that point where he's done everything he knows to do, and the last thing that he does is the way you and I so many times go. As a last resort, he looks to the Lord God. Verse 9 of Genesis 32, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidest unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother and the children. And thou saidest, he's reminding God of his promise, thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. This was his prayer. This was the prayer of Jacob as he comes to that point and to that place where he admits he is unworthy, as he recalls the blessings of God upon him. Verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Oh, beloved, isn't that true of you and me? We're not worthy. We who know Jesus Christ as Savior, we're not worthy of his salvation. We're not worthy of his deliverance from the bondage of sin. We're not worthy of his redemption. We're not worthy of his grace. We're not worthy of the indwelling Holy Spirit. We have nothing to boast and brag about, beloved. We are what we are, as Paul said, by the grace of God, and it's only by his undeserved favor. And so Jacob admits he is unworthy. And then Jacob prays for deliverance in verse 11. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother. Oh, yes, beloved, he's crying out for God's help, for God's intervention. And then Jacob reminds God of his promise in the next verse there, verse 12, "And thou saidest," O beloved, the promises of God. Do you claim God's promises? Do you act upon the promises of God? God always keeps His word, beloved. God always does what He says He will do. He may not do it in the way you expect. He may not do it at the time you expect. God's ways are not our ways. Isaiah 55:8-9, God says, "For my ways are above your ways, as far as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts." God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has a will for your life and for mine. And when things occur that look to us like tragedy, God's able to use it for His glory and for our good. And that's why we must trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge that He is God, and let Him direct our path. Let Him guide our step, as Proverbs 3:5-6 states. And, beloved, He's able to. I learned so many lessons through the trial, through the difficulty, through the hardship, through the seeming tragedies that have come into my life. I'll never forget standing at the corner of our house that had blown away in a tornado, and the wonderful peace of God which flooded my soul. Oh, I didn't know if my father and mother were alive or dead. I was a junior in high school, but I knew God was in control. And I had His peace, and I had His joy. And I tell you, beloved, it was a glorious experience. I remember another occasion, which I've mentioned before, when I was hanging upside down in a pickup that had turned over looking out the window. And I remember the peace of God that flooded my soul. And I remember the whisper of the Holy Spirit that said, "Everything's okay, Bob. Everything's going to be all right." And it was. It was. And it turned out to be a glorious experience in my life. No one was hurt or injured, and God so graciously took care of all the situation and circumstances involved. Oh, beloved, how wonderful to yield fully to the living God, to let Him be Lord in every area of your life. But the old flesh still struggles. Here we see that Jacob is still struggling in the flesh. Flesh or self in the spiritual use, controlling or running the life. That's the old flesh. That's the old self life. Jacob can't rest. As he walks, he gets an idea. And notice what Jacob does after he prays. Verse 13, "And he lodged there that same night, and took of that which came to his hand, a present for Esau his brother." What's he going to do? He's going to try to manipulate Esau. He's still struggling in the flesh. He's asked God to protect him, and he's reminded God of His promise to do so, but he's still going to try to manipulate the situation. He's still trying to fix the situation. And so he takes of the many things that he has to try to buy off Esau. He lodged there that same night, verse 13, "and took of that which came to his hand a present for Esau his brother, 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats and 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine and 10 bulls, 20 she-asses and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, 'Pass over before me, and put a space betwixt drove and drove.' And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then thou shalt say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau, and behold also he is behind us. Yes, he's still trying to manipulate the situation. He's still trying to work in the energy of the flesh to resolve this problem. And, beloved, the old flesh doesn't give up easily. The old flesh still struggles. The old flesh still tries to step in, to have its own way, and to do its own thing. Jacob is seeking acceptance from Esau. That's what he longs for, is acceptance from Esau. You remember what he said there in verse 2? When Jacob saw them, he said, This is God's host, and he called the name of the place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He commanded them, saying, Thus shall ye speak unto Esau, thy servant. Jacob saith, Thus I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And he goes on to tell him what he's accomplished. And he says in verse 5, I have oxen, asses, flocks, and men servants, women servants. I have sent to you, tell my Lord that I may find grace in his sight. Notice that. That I may find grace in his sight. You see, Jacob is seeking acceptance from Esau. He knows he's rejected Esau, and Esau has rejected him, and Esau is coming with 400 men, and it looks like Esau's going to kill him and keep his word and the vow that he's made to kill Jacob. And so Jacob longs for acceptance from Esau. And remember the overt rejection by Esau, Then will I slay my brother Jacob, Genesis 27:41. And Laban's rejection was covert rejection in Genesis 31:1-5 and 25-30. It was hidden rejection, but it was there as he changed Jacob's salary, his income 10 different times. And we see that he rejected Jacob just as Esau did, only it wasn't open rejection, it was covert and hidden rejection. Beloved, let me remind you, it's better to rest in the Lord than to struggle in the flesh. But the flesh sure loves to struggle. It certainly does. And so, beloved, which way are you going to go in your struggle? Are you going to yield or struggle in the flesh? Till next time, goodbye.